Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Flashcast, an unofficial podcast of the CW's The Flash. I'm Steven Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
If you're new to the podcast, what we do is discuss every week's episode of The Flash. This week, we'll be talking about Season 2, Episode 9, Running to Stand Still. So this episode has a bit of a misdirect at the beginning, as you see Harrison Wells running away from Zoom, and all of a sudden, Zoom picks him up, and the only thing he says is, "Merry Christmas." And then it just switches to like the Flash slate,
the title card.
Yeah. And it's like Christmassy. But you know what's funny is that the whole episode is a misdirect, because while it seems like it'll be a happy-go-lucky Christmas episode, it's far from it, man. Most of the themes in the whole episode tend to be pretty dark and pretty heavy, man.
Damn. This will mess you up in a whole different psychological level, man. It starts out really good, and then it just comes down crashing hard.
Yeah, you know, it starts with like Iris talking to Joe at the coffee shop, and they're joking around about the toys and whatnot, and how there's no Arrow toys. And then, you know, and then it just pivots, you know? Everything's going fine. You know, Patty and Barry have this nice little moment. And then Iris is hanging out with Barry and telling him, "Look, I got to tell Joe about his son." And from that scene to the rest of the episode, that scene pretty much sets the tone of the rest of the episode, is what I meant to say. And, you know, Iris tells Joe, it's like, "Okay, dude, you have a son. This is something you didn't know, but when Francine left us, she was pregnant, so you do have a son." And it's something that it's kind of the side story of this episode is Joe dealing with having a son and the things that, like, almost Joe's guilt towards not even knowing that he had a son, even though there was no way of him knowing.
No, there really wasn't any. There wasn't any recollection of him actually knowing he's gonna have a son. It's just his wife picked up and just left out of nowhere.
You know what's funny? Anything bad that ever happens to Joe always feels that much worse, because he's always been such a genuinely nice character, such a really nice father figure, and he tries to do good and he tries to teach Barry good. So you, whenever something goes wrong for him, you really feel horrible about it.
Yeah, he's one of the most stable characters that I've noticed throughout the whole series. He's always had the same attitude every time, but as soon as this happened, his attitude like drastically changed, and you feel for him. That's the heartbreaking part. You really do feel for him. It's really insane. And come on, if you just had news breaking down saying that you just had a kid or you have a son that you haven't seen in about 20 years, I would probably break down as well as he did, because he cried like really.
You know what's funny though what's interesting is that The Flash is usually pretty, it's a pretty lighthearted show in the themes it usually deals with. And even when it deals with the harder stuff, it usually takes it in a lighthearted manner. But this whole, and especially everything with Joe right now, I think it just seems like that much more emotional of a moment, because most of the show doesn't have that tone. Mm-hmm. And you don't deal with things like this regularly. But, you know, aside from Joe's struggles and from that little side story, the main story revolves around the Weather Wizard. And Weather Wizard comes back and he releases both Captain Cold and the Trickster. And let's face it, any episode you have the Trickster in is going to be an amazing episode, man. Mark Hamill knocks it out of the park, man.
I always say this all the time, man. Mark Hamill, when he's not playing a villain, it's okay. But when he does play villains, it's spectacular.
And, you know, we know Mark Hamill as the voice of the Joker, the amazing voice of the Joker, from the 1990s animated series, and then from also the Arkham Knight games.
Also, he was Lord Ozai in The Last Airbender as well, in those shows, which is amazing.
And, you know, it's interesting seeing him as Trickster, because the costume for Trickster always reminded me of... Did you ever watch Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Yeah.
The character he plays in that, Cockknocker?
Oh, yeah.
With the big hand?
Yes.
So that's what it's always reminding me of. Yeah. And let's face it, Mark Hamill can't shake off that Joker voice. Because even as he's playing Trickster, I keep getting reminded of the Joker.
Yeah, he has that very sinister voice that he always does. And that's the thing. It's pretty much his main signature. And you can't really play a villain, especially if it's Mark Hamill, without that voice.
It definitely brings it to his, it kind of ups the ante, man. So, you know, he's insane. Plus, to me, he plays, Trickster is a character very similar to Joker.
Yeah, I can see that. He plays a lot of tricks, does a bunch of weird things, Sin essentially the same thing. The only difference is he's less, I think, less
psychotic. Less diabolical. Yeah, yeah. Less psychotic, definitely. Yeah. But even things like using a knife for wanting to carve people up, that whole scene between Barry and when Barry and Patty are stuck in the warehouse and he uses these toys as an elaborate, trap, it reminded me a ton of the Joker.
Those little dreidels. The song dreidel. I made you out of C4. There's a crap ton of them just coming out of nowhere. Oh god, it just takes this level.
I did love him in it and just how crazy he is and how crazy he seems. And you know what's funny is it also reinforces this like extremely psychotic character. And even Weather Wizard is pretty psychotic, you know, to an extent. It reinforces just how, I guess, not necessarily how nice Captain Cold is, but how honorable he is. Because Captain Cold goes out of his way to warn Barry about, you know, what's happening and what their intentions are.
Yeah, it's crazy how Martin, the Weather Wizard, was already thinking. He's like, all right, cool. It's going to be three of us. We're going to dominate. We have really good skills. And then Captain Cold's like, no, there's no benefit for me. Like, I need some sort of benefit. And he means money, something that actually will, like, freaking make his pockets fat.
You know, that's one of the coolest things about Captain Cold. That he, not only does he say that he's just a thief and he's just doing it for his benefit, he actually does kind of stand by it a lot. There's, like, many times, even having to, like, do away with his own father and stuff like that. He does the difficult things because he knows, like, well, there are other things that are more important to him. Yeah, not just money, you know. He has this interesting honor system.
It's a weird code that he has, but even for a villain to have a code that's really, that's actually very, I want to say noble, because noble seems more heroic, but he's not.
Well, I mean, to an extent, he will be when you really think about it.
He does, yeah.
But, you know, so we digress.
Yeah.
You know, Captain Cold and Trickster, and eventually they get together. And essentially, Trickster and Weather Wizard are really the only ones that go after Barry. But one of the coolest things in this episode is seeing Patty's motivation. So we learn why Patty joins the Metahuman Task Force. We learn that it's because Weather Wizard killed her father, and we also learn of the guilt she's carrying throughout this whole time. So prior to this, Patty's character had always been very, I'm not going to say happy-go-lucky, but she didn't seem too worried about anything. You know, she was a cop, she was trying to figure out what was going on in this world, and she joined the task force. But she never seemed like she was burdened by anything. And this is one of those first episodes where you do see this something very traumatic hanging on her.
Yeah, you get to see a different emotion out of her, which is really rare from her character, from what we've been displaying through the entire time through these episodes. It shows that, one, she usually is happy majority of the time, but also there is something that does hold her back majority of the time, which is her emotions. That's why she's always happy majority of the time. But then there is a burden, which was, of course, her father's death,
and the guilt she feels over that, man.
Yeah, she puts that on herself every time. That's ridiculous, though.
I love that scene where she's talking to Barry and she's telling him exactly what happens. And obviously, she's not aware that that's Barry talking with her, but she does give him the full story of what's going on. And it was just crushing to see her, to see that sort of emotion come out of her, because you're not used to that from the character.
No, not at all.
It really does show a lot more dimensions. And I've been a huge fan of the Patty character from the very beginning, man. So seeing this was just top notch for me.
Oh yeah. She's exactly how she is in the comic book as she is in the show so far, which I really enjoy very well too.
So the big plot that Trickster has in order to lure Flash out is giving kids presents. And he goes and poses as Santa and distributes these presents, which he later reveals have bombs in them. So these are randomly distributed out to a bunch of like little kids. And essentially they tell him, Weather Wizard and Trickster tell Flash, either you let us beat on you in public or we're going to detonate these bombs, which I thought to be incredibly diabolical, man.
Yeah, that's really harsh. That's a really harsh plan that they have. It's either we destroy you here, or we'll destroy a bunch of freaking people that's around them.
It's like, we're going to kill a bunch of children on Christmas Eve, essentially.
Yeah, that's a really messed up plot that they have.
One of the worst ones, if you really think about it, because I don't think up until that point there had really been a villain that had taken it to that extra level. Usually most of the villains don't necessarily want to kill everyone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only other thing I can think of that happens technically on Christmas is, was it Black Mask putting up a hit on Batman? And that happened on a Christmas day that he did that. But nothing comes down as crazy as this one, though, when it comes to bombs.
So the people that are tasked with taking care of the bombs are Sisko and Wells, and they're trying their hardest to find these bombs. Now, one of the coolest little I always like talking about the little nudges that the Flash gives and these little lines that to me are really hilarious. And this one had a really cool one. When Harrison Wells goes up to, I believe, the first house, he opens, he rings the doorbell, the little kid answers, and the first thing Harrison Wells says is, "Your toys, give them to me," which I felt was it's this really cool callback to Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Terminator movies.
Yeah.
Like, "Your clothes, give them to me." I thought that was great, man. It's little moments like that that I always say are solid throughout the whole series.
Yeah, I always love those random little things that happen, man. That's why I love the Barry Allen character on The Flash, because he's the very comical one. Jay Garrick's mostly he sees things and mathematical equations and everything like that. But, oh my God, the way how this show's going with the humor, it's really good. It's a good mixture. I mean, it's really fun.
And that's, you know, that's a nice little break from the very, very heavy episode. So another thing that happens is Barry talks to Wells, or talks at Wells, and basically it's what he would have told the first Harrison Wells. And he tells him how he still hates him and how he doesn't want to hate him anymore, how he doesn't want to be burdened by this. Because at the end of the day, Barry's in his new place in his life where everything seems to be going, not perfect, don't get me wrong, but better and going pretty good. And he really wants to let go of his old pain. So that small scene where he's just talking at the glass and Harrison just looks back at him like, can I help you?
It's really, you can tell that Barry just been wanting to say that for a long time. You don't really see him actually speak out as that type of emotion that he usually has, which is great, because we finally get to see that, hey, there was something that's been holding him back, and he finally was able to release and vent from that. And then that little tidbit too, where Harrison Wells just turns around and says, "Oh, is there anything else that you need?" He goes, oh yeah, we're going to have a Christmas. You want to come over to my house? I was like, you just pretty much like tore him a new one and then invited him to Christmas. But he didn't hear the whole thing, which is fine. But, dude.
You know, and speaking of Harrison Wells, throughout the episode, Harrison Wells keeps encountering Zoom. And Zoom keeps like pretty much teasing and taunting the guy. And, you mean, we've learned that Zoom is holding Harrison Wells' daughter captive. Now, this goes to the end of the episode where Zoom gives Harrison this ultimatum, and it's just insane it shows how insanely cruel Zoom can be, where he pretty much lets Harrison Wells see his daughter for like a split second and then takes her from him again, just to really show him how much in power Zoom is. And that's when Harrison Wells figures out exactly what what Zoom's been trying to do. And it shows just how much in a villain's mind Harrison Wells can be. And, you know, it shows his levels of intelligence. But it also shows how he's finally given up on Barry to an extent. Because from the very beginning, Harrison has been trying to help Barry because he believes that Barry can beat Zoom. I think this is just Harrison's way of saying, okay, I don't think Barry can beat you at all, so I will help you take the Flash of speed.
That scene was just crazy, because that's pretty much when you know he's going to do something very diabolical after that. It's like, all right, well, if I can't help the Flash, I might as well take something of his that is needed for me to save my own daughter. And this is where double agent status comes around. It's like, he's still there to help, but he's going to do something really devious.
And you know what? I love that because it's sort of like the character pivoting. While he was initially there to do one thing, now he's there to do another, and he's sort of like hiding his ulterior motive, even though they suspected him, and now they trust him, and now he has the ulterior motive. I like this level of complexity, and that's why I like this episode so much, in that it showed a lot more complexity in plot and a lot more complexity in the characters, man. You saw just how much everything is weighing everyone down, like the big issues that everyone has.
One of the things that I actually took from this episode actually kind of hit me a bit more was the relationship between Jay Garrick and also Kaylin. Theirs have gotten really a bit more intimate after a while. But then one of my favorite things is when she's putting up the mistletoe and then Jay is like, oh, what's that? It's like, oh, it's mistletoe. And she's explaining the mistletoe. It's like, we have mistletoe on our freaking.
I was like, I'm just messing with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know what it is. And then they actually finally share their first kiss, which is great.
I'm actually surprised of how quickly that relationship evolved, really. Because I thought she would have much more of a hesitation because of what happened with Ronnie. And Ronnie hasn't really been dead for that long, if you really think about it.
It's been like, what, 4 or 5 months, technically?
It's been a handful of months, and I know a lot of stuff has been happening. But for her to be torn up about Ronnie for as long as she was, and then, you know, finding out Ronnie's alive, and then finding out Ronnie's dead again, you would kind of think she would have a hesitation to get close to anyone in general.
Yeah, that's really, really heartbreaking from her standpoint, and then from her just moving on. But you know that she's still probably has that thought as well beside her head. And anyways, that she's always been the most emotional one of everybody I've noticed, because she's felt the most trauma.
She has gone through the most, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, Barry's had a great deal of trauma, but if there's any other character that has dealt with quite a bit, it is definitely Kaylin, man. And you know, not only from losing Ronnie, but the fact of like getting Ronnie back and then losing him again in almost the same manner, it's gotta mess with someone.
Yeah, that is really hard. That's really difficult.
Now, talking about the heavy subjects, and this is the last heavy one, it's the scene where Wally shows up at Joe's house and Joe opens the door and him and Iris are just taken aback and completely speechless. Because this kid just shows up out of nowhere and it's pretty much, they know who he is. He knows they know who he is. And it's sort of like, it's this little awkward scene of, I just wanted to be here to meet you. Maybe this wasn't a good idea. You know, how did that resonate with you? Because for me, that solidified the episode.
That's where I believe it just threw every emotion to one giant spiral in the very center, where it's showing, hey, This is how deep the episode is going to be, and this is the deepest where we're going to do it. Now, him inviting the son in was pretty much saying, all right, cool, now we have to like deal with this as well. So even though we have a whole family together, this is a different emotional burden now that's going to be put right towards them, which is really, really heavy.
You know, what's funny is that throughout the whole episode, Joe talks about Barry being his son, and then, you know, go to find out Joe has an actual son. But it shows a lot in Joe that he still, to him, Barry will always be his first son. To him, Barry will be, you know, as strong as blood. I really like that about that Joe character. And it's one of the things that makes me like the series so much, that level of depth in side characters. Because that's one of the great things about The Flash is every side character has an immense amount of depth.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of different people. Cisco having his own powers, dealing with the struggle of his own powers. Kaylin dealing with her emotions and then her relationship with Jay Garrick. And Jay Garrick for not having his powers and still helping out and then still hating Wells. And then Wells' burden, too, with his daughter being taken by Zoom. And he has to do his modem to actually take Barry's actual powers away. That's a lot of character development within just those four side characters.
It's like a bunch of people smiling in a burning building.
And we still have a bunch of other side characters, too, that actually have been developed, too. And it's ridiculous the amount of stuff that's been put in and how much time that they took to do for these characters. And they work really well together.
So week after week, I'm loving this show. And yet again, I have to say, I love where the season is going. I can't wait to see who Zoom is or if Zoom manages to take Barry's speed, because it seems like this is where the show is going. So I'm interested in that next battle that the both of them are going to have.
Yeah, that should be pretty much something of very speed and epic proportions. Like, I really want to see that.
Well, I hope you guys liked it as much as we did. All right, guys, thank you for listening to this episode of The Flashcast. If you guys want to check out more of the stuff we got going on, head on over to filmbook.com, that's film-book.com, and search for either Steven Bueno or The Flashcast. If you guys are interested in checking out some of the stuff we do outside of Filmbook, you can check us out on YouTube by going to youtube.com/leakofgents, that's G-E-N-T-S, or checking us out on Facebook by going to facebook.com/leagueofordinarygents, G-E-N-T-S. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast services, go ahead and rate and review this episode. If you listen to this podcast on YouTube, go ahead and hit that thumbs up video and leave a comment in the comment section. We definitely want to hear from you guys.